Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we've come through the first three chapters. The First Corinthians. This morning we're going to be going into the fourth chapter. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're asking the Holy Spirit now to come forward to take this service and bring to each one of us what we need to hear, Father, so that we can grow thereby, grow in knowledge, grow in faith, grow in strength to stand on your word, Heavenly Father, and to leave the things of this world behind us, and ever reaching forward and upward for the things that pertain to thy kingdom. Our Father, be with us throughout this service. And we ask all of this in thy sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, in chapter 3, there was a lot of things we went over. We found out that, you know, that carnal minds hinder the growth of the spirit. So what shape is your mind in? It's something we need to check ourselves. And then we are co-laborers with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Need to know who we are and what we are. And we're not above each other, and we should not be building these walls that has been being built over the years and has brought division among mankind. We found that out in the third chapter also. And we found out that the only foundation for you and I to build on in order to make heaven our home is the Lord Jesus Christ. We found that out in chapter 3. So now we're going into chapter 4. Verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now there, in that first verse, he's telling us to count, to be accounted as ministers. This ministry, this word used, like it's used here, this is the only place you're going to find it. Because what he is speaking of is we are all servants of his. If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are his servants. We're counted stewards, things that way, and servants. 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see, unless you can stand faithful with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no way you can be considered as one of his stewards. That's his word, not mine, but his. Verse 3, Paul saying here, he says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Why? Because he knows who the judge is. He goes on here in 4. He says, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. And you see, it is the Lord that will justify each and every one of us. We shouldn't be worried about what mankind thinks about us. Just pray for that one and go on. Now, 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. You see, there'll be, when Christ comes to judge you and I, however that will be, there's nothing hid from him. That's why he can judge. And he is the judge. And when we pass his judgment, then we need to all praise unto God and walk in the joy of knowing that we are his children, his sons, his daughters, and that we continue on doing the things that we need to be doing that he has asked of us. Take all things to him. When something comes along that's going to need to a decision, for you to make a decision about, don't make that decision until you first take that to the Lord our God. And let him give you the answer. And he will never give you the wrong one. Think about that. Now, 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. We're not to figure ourselves better than other people. Does that mean that I can't look at him and know whether he's doing something wrong or not? No, if I see him doing something wrong, I know that, but I wouldn't know not to do it myself. As an example, I see a man out here getting drunk. I know better. See? So I know he's wrong there. But I'm not his judge. I may talk with him at times and try to get him to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which would get him off of all of that. But I want to pass judgment on him. 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? You see, Jesus is the one that makes us different from others. And have you received it? If you received it, he's telling you here not to act like you didn't receive it, but to be sure that you are acting as one that has received it. 8. Now ye are full. Now ye are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. He's giving a warning here. 9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. In other words, they was looked on more or less as kind of a clown-like, a sideshow. Because they wouldn't look down. We are fools for Christ. Uh-oh. We are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. You see, they know how people are looking at them and about them, because they would act and preach nothing but Christ. And you see, those around them, the Corinthians and all that were around them, they used their Christianity more or less as a type of philosophy that would kind of raise their reputation as being wise and enlightened people. Think about this. You see, always wanting to be raised above others. No, the only reason I want is when I leave this life and step into that next one, I want to be raised to be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I want. Now, here in 11, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. We know they traveled and stayed just wherever they could. And there was times, yes, that they didn't have the food really that to keep them from being hungry. Because you see, just as they tell you here in 12, they had no certain dwelling place there in 11. And labor working with our own hands, being revolved, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Think about that. How would you like to live your life being constantly persecuted, talked against, even wanting you dead instead of alive? And that day is coming again. Now listen to me, church. That day is coming again. And the Bible tells us so. Now, in fact, we read it in Revelations when we was going through Revelations. Now, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world and are the offscourging of all things unto this day. You know, footnotes in my Bible for that verse is this. We are fools for Christ's sake. In other words, they're on account of Christ. It says, but ye are wise. The apostles are considered fools because they knew and preached nothing but Christ. On the other hand, the Corinthians used their Christianity as another philosophy. Think about that. Philosophy. No, it's not philosophy. It is being obedient unto the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. Now, 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Paul's saying, I'm warning you about these things. 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. He's asking those Christians in the churches to follow him. Use him as an example. And he's told them why. That's because he is in Christ Jesus. And he is walking according to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word. And that's what you and I are supposed to be doing today and being an example that others can follow and make heaven their home. But there's not many out there today that calls themselves Christians that you can actually do that with. Our son, yes. But not near as many as claim to be Christian. 17. He says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, he's calling Timothy his son. He is not his flesh and blood son. He is his spiritual son. He became a minister in all, a Christian and a minister in all, under Paul. Now, he letting them know that his ways are always in Christ, just as he teaches everywhere in every church. He's not going to be changing from church to church. And this is the thing that we don't need today, that we are filled with it. They differ from church to church. They differ in their beliefs and in their way of living and thinking, because they have taken and built walls to divide themselves from others. Now, 18 says, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. 19, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Because you see, Paul walked in the power of Almighty God, because Paul walked in the Spirit, which is exactly what you and I are supposed to be doing today. And teaching that exact same thing that Paul is teaching. We are told in this word to preach this doctrine, this apostle's doctrine, just as it is written here in this book. You see, when you really sit down and you look at God's word and you take it slowly instead of trying to make a storybook out of it. When you read a verse, you are hearing the preaching of one of God's apostles. And those words that you are reading were also given to him to record by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's why we know that the word in the Bible are truth. They're not man's words. They were given to the writer by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Are in love and in the spirit of meekness. He's asking, which way do I need to come to you? In other words, what are they going to believe? How are they going to be living when he gets there? Because you see, Paul walking in the Spirit will treat them as they are living. And if they are living right and in righteousness, that's the way they'll be treated. But if they're not, then he's going to be coming to them with a rod. The rod of the word of Almighty God. And he's not going to be sparing the word. He's going to be giving it to them just like it is. Just like the Spirit will give it to him. And we all know, because as we have been studying the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we're now in John there. Jesus himself spoke straight to the point in truth. He didn't walk around things or no one. And we are not to walk around things or anyone. We are to give them the truth of God's word. Now, we're to love them whether they accept it or not. And pray that there will be a time where they will accept and put it on and begin to live in it to where they also can make heaven their home. Now, we have just finished with chapter 4. Now let's see here, chapter 5. Well, yeah, it's kind of a short chapter, so we're going to go ahead with it. Now, we're going to be getting into a lot of moral standards here in this short chapter of 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Uh-oh. You see what that's saying? And this does go on in our day and time, too. Shouldn't, but it does. Now, 22. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he has done this deed might be taken away from among you. In other words, he's not going to be left here long. That day and time, he wouldn't have been long at all. Now, 3. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. Paul's letting them know he does not approve. 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Turn him over to Satan and let Satan destroy that flesh. But in hopes that the spirit can be saved. Now, means he's got to do, he's going to have to do some quick changing. Now, 6, your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? You see, it doesn't take a lot of sin to make you evil, because a small sin in your life will lead and can and will lead to greater sins. And a steady diet of them. Now, he tells us in 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Get rid of that evil that's in you. And the only way you can do that is by going to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, being forgiven for them, getting into a good church, one that is teaching the Word of God, and get into the Word yourself. Spend time in this Word, studying it, and time in prayer with the Lord, so that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because we need that Holy Spirit to keep us on the right road. He has the power to do so. And he gives us knowledge, gives us wisdom, and the power to do the things we need to do. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's what we need to be walking in. You and I today, walking in sincerity and truth. Being sincere about what we want, being sincere about our walk with the Lord and being sincere about the study of God's Word and the truth of it. Not just take it and make it into what we want it to be, but the truth of it. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to accompany with fornicators. Then you don't accompany with them, because you can get dragged down. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idlers, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Oh, listen to this. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an adulterer, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. In other words, you don't accompany and do anything with them. Yes, for you to share, to talk with them about the Word of God as you would come in contact with them, but you don't go with them in their walk of life. No. You don't keep that kind of company with them. And you don't spend much time with them. Because in so doing, be surprised about how they can drag you down and away. That's what Paul is letting us know here. He said, no, don't do it. Well, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You see, that's why the church should govern what is accepted within it. And there should be no wicked person sitting in any of the seats of your church. But that's not true anymore. We have adulterers standing in the podium doing what they call preaching the Word of God. They can't do it because God's not with them. Oh, they'll use a verse here and a verse there, yes, to make you think that that's a message God wants you to have. But it's not. It's what they want you to have. We got transgender people in our churches now. Our churches have a lot of them. I'm not saying all. But a lot of our churches have accepted a lot of things they should never have let through that door. Found out something the other day that I didn't know. But there was a church that came up for sale here. And in checking about it and all, I found out that organization has lost half of its churches due to their acceptance of transsexual and abortion that they have accepted within that organization. And now, it's a big organization too, and now they have lost half of their churches. Satan will tear down your church. And in the meantime, cause a lot of people to miss making heaven their home because of being deceived by the wrong teaching of God's word. We have just finished there with five, so we're going to stop there for this morning. And God willing, we can pick up with chapter 6 this evening at 6 and go on from there to receive more of God's word. You see, there's several out there wondering why it is that I'm teaching this way, like I'm teaching. But this is the way God led me to do. I'm taking you completely through the Bible, but we're not going just straight from Genesis and then go straight through that way. We're taking the Old Testament on Monday and Tuesday. On Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we are going through the four Gospels. We're about to get through them. So when we do, then the week will be divided into two things, the old and the new. There'll just be those two different things until we completely get through the entire Bible. We've already read the book of Revelation. We may, I don't know, I am praying about it. We may go back on a Wednesday and reread the book of Revelation again, because several of you have missed most of the reading of it. And really, that is a book we all do need to go through and to come to a better understanding of. And you see, I don't teach it. I just read it to you, because it tells us not to add one word to it or take away one word from it. And tells us what will happen if we do either one. So if we get back to that, you'll understand what I'm saying, because it tells us itself not to add one word to it or take one word away, and tells us exactly what will happen if we do. All right. I pray that you will walk with God the rest of this day. Spend time with him, and spend time in his word. But do spend time with him. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this morning, we thank you for the word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the times that we can come together, Father, to study your word together, to learn, Father, to walk as one, which is what we are to be and to do is to become as one in our belief, Father. And that is to be according to your word in the way that we are led by thy Holy Spirit, Father. And we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for all he has done for us. Father, so much. He has given so much. He gave his life so that our sins could be forgiven. And he bore those stripes upon his body. It gives us our healing. All of that, Father, he took to the cross with him. Father, let us now stand with him always, being thankful, praising him, and being thankful for what he has done for us. And we give you praise, Father. And thank you for sending him to us to be that sacrifice, to make a way for us to make heaven our home, and for giving us the comforter and the helper that you've given us, the Holy Spirit that has brought to us and to lead us in knowledge, in wisdom, and to give us the power that we need in order to do the things, Father, that we are to do. Now, Father, keep us the rest of this day in health, in safety, and bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. And Father, pray for Israel and Jerusalem, for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. We pray for this land of ours, Father, that has brought so much wickedness upon its own people, turned its back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to come together and bring this land to repentance so it can be healed and our government put back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. All right. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Have a great day. God willing, see you at 6:00.